All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, be with us tonight. Lead us and guide us, Lord, in what you want us to talk about and just be with you, Lord. There's a lot of things happening in the world today, Lord. A lot of excitement in the spiritual, too. Father, we thank you for all the things that you're doing. You are draining the swamp in Washington, D.C., and spiritually. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for all the things you've promised us. And we just praise you and thank you for your word. And Lord, guide us tonight. Lead us into those things. We thank you for an open heaven, too. And we command this communications with this outreach and fellowship, this outreach fellowship, to not be messed up in any kind of way. To command the communications to all be solid and everybody in here not be kicked off in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that we can depend upon your techie angels to keep things going in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Judy. Go ahead, Judy. There you go.
Okay, I got a prayer report. A prayer request. Well, a report and a request. My daughter Angie, they're going to release her from the hospital. They said that she cannot. They can't do the surgery if she's been smoking. So she has to quit smoking for 2 months, which is, thank you, Lord, that. But she doesn't want to, so that is, you know, Lord, I pray that you give her the desire to quit, because right now she doesn't have the desire. Then what she has to do is bandage her nose up every day for these 2 months till they can do the surgery. I didn't know anything like that, but they still don't know what the problem is or what kind of bacteria it is, but they said it's not, you know, the skin was disappearing and part of it's gone, but they said stop doing that. So thank you, Lord, for that. So I think the Lord's taking her home so he can do the work in her and not the hospital. That's my feeling. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So I just want to thank the Lord and giving her the desire to stop smoking and help her do that. And just be with her each day, her nose, and thank you and praise you for healing her nose.
Restored.
Yes. Restored. Restored.
Judy.
Thank you so much. And thank you for everybody.
What if?
Yeah.
That's the Lord talking and telling her to quit. You quit smoking and I'll restore that nose. I know that's not like God says, but I'm just saying, you know, you quit that smoking, I'll put that nose back on there more perfect than it was before you started.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Sounds good to me.
Well, that sounds good.
Yes.
Yes. Lord, we just thank
we'll
you for
believe that.
Yeah, we'll believe that. We'll believe that.
That's right.
We just thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in Angie to stop smoking and to start taking care of her body. And Lord, we just praise you for the work you're going to do in Angie, that you're going to draw her to you in a mighty way. Lord, we always know that these things happen for a reason and everything's going to turn out better than we can even think about. And Lord, we thank you for doing that in Angie. At the end of this thing, I believe she's going to be a mighty woman of God. Lord, and we thank you for doing that for Angie. We believe it. We pray it and we believe it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Thank you, Lord.
And we bind
up and
that evil spirit of addiction We bind up that evil spirit of addiction from Angie as well, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah, Missy. Or go ahead, Marilyn. Missy, somebody. I don't
care. Going to pray. Well, I wanted to pray for Andy too, because usually when there's an addiction, there's some reason for someone. They're medicating themselves. They're trying, in a sense, trying to comfort themselves with something rather than dealing with the actual problem. So Father, work in her and show her, Lord, things that she hasn't maybe dealt with, or heal her emotionally, whatever, Lord, is the reason for this addiction and her not wanting to give it up, because it's a vice, it's an addiction, it's something she leans on rather than you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to show her this, Lord, whatever it is. She may not even realize that it's associated, but we ask you for your mercy and grace, Lord. You show her something, whatever it is, that's things that have caused her to have this addiction and not really want to give it up, Lord. But Lord, do it, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for doing that in her and drawing her to yourself through this, Lord. And that she learned to lean on you and depend on you and not on cigarettes and to cope, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing that for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I just wanted to give a little testimony here and then stand in agreement. Our son-in-law Casey smoked and chewed when he came to live with us, and I really didn't like that, although he smoked outside. And so I was always praying for him to praying over him, you know, to quit smoking. And he finally told me, he said, you know, I really don't want to quit smoking. And so I thought, okay. So I came upstairs and I prayed that the Lord would give him the desire to quit smoking. And I tell you what, within a week, he had quit. There was no smoking. There was no chewing. It was just all gone. The Lord just kind of worked things out to where he was out of cigarettes and out of chew and one night and really didn't want to go to the store to get it. And then after he made it through that one day, the Lord just gave him the grace and the desire to go ahead and quit. And that's been a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. So I know that that's a good prayer. So Father, you're no respecter of persons, but you are a respecter of faith. And we got a lot of faith here for Angie. And we just thank you and praise you that all that desire for smoking is gone away. And Lord, that's kind of symbolic of taking in an unclean breath, unclean spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that she is delivered from that and that she's going to be breathing in the life and the breath of the Holy Spirit. You're going to give her a desire for that. And Lord, also, I'm praying for discernment for Angie. The nose is kind of symbolic of discerning of spirits. And Lord, her nose is, we've prayed for it. We believe that it's healed. But this trial that she's gone through here, Lord, you're going to give her a great revelation. You're going to enlighten the eyes of her understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to grant unto her the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ and how much she needs him and how much he loves her. and that he's the overcoming power in her life to reckon herself to be dead unto sin and alive unto him. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this trial. And, Lord, I also want to thank you for lifting Judy up. We are really thankful that things have turned around since Tuesday night, and we give you all the praise and glory for that. And you do all things well, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that that's done. That girl won't want a cigarette after that prayer and our faith as we hook it all together, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Angie. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Judy, did you want to say something? Judy, did you want to say something? Okay.
Sometimes I don't know if you're saying Julie or Judy. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No,
I just
no.
want to thank everybody for praying for her, and I believe he's gonna take that desire out of her.
Amen.
It's a generation curse that we just cast down from her.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I do have
thank
a prayer, a prayer request. My Christian, my grandson, started to dabble with Satanism. And I come against it, and the Lord had me praying today for deliverance from all this evil that he's, and I would like to pray, have us pray for all the friends that had influenced him, that he would not want to go and be around them anymore. So Lord, I just lift the Christian up to you and ask that you would, I know that you have delivered him from this these evil spirits, but I pray, Father God, that you'll be able to strengthen him. I know he's going to be tested some more with this, but I know that, as he is tested with you, being tested with you, that you give him the time to gain you and grow in you before the testing. I know you'll do that, and that you will keep those friends that are quote friends of his that have been dabbling in the occult and the Satanism, and that he would be able to be strong enough to not be around them. You give him the strength to not be around these
yes.
ones, and that you would even deliver those.
Amen.
And even if you want, Lord, that you use him to help deliver them.
Amen.
Right now, I pray that you just strengthen him in yourself, and work out his salvation. That you would give his parents, Bill and Lisa, that you would give them the wisdom, spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you as well, and that you will give them the spiritual understanding so that they can help him to overcome this, and they can give him the word so that he can see the truth and be set free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I do see that then after all this, that he's going to be a minister because of what he's learned. He's going to be a minister to others.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, we break the power.
You were going to say something?
Yeah, I've been trying to. can y'all hear me? Can everybody hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Greg, I just want to tell you, they have silverware now. You got your face down in that bowl. I just looked like you had your face. Oh, that's a cup. Oh, okay. Anyway, Let me pray for Christian in the name of Jesus right now. I break the power of Satan off that boy right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you up and cast you off of him. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you put the fear of God in Christian right now in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you reach down, you grab him and show him where he's headed if he gets in. If he gets into that stuff in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that he's going to be an immediate turnaround in Christian, and he's going to live up to his name in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you and glorify you for what you're doing. Put the fear of God in him in a way that it will scare the devil out of him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay, I believe that's going to happen.
Amen. You know, and that's basically some of the things that I've been praying today about.
Okay.
That's a confirmation what you were praying. I was at earlier today, and I got a couple of, I asked the Lord for some words, and I got words from it after prayer. In fact, the one word I got after prayer, I says, Lord, can you tell me where he's at? And my finger was on upright. Upright. Okay. The first scripture before I prayed for him he was angry. You know, he was angry for the wicked or whatever. So that kind of like, thank you, Lord, you know, after I prayed, you know, for a little while. I mean, I fasted. He told me I needed to fast and pray. So that's what I did up until now, you know. Okay. And so, then I got that one as upright. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else got a testimony? Go ahead, Tim.
All the political stuff happening today. The Lord. Well, we got a plane flying right over the rooftop here. Hang on. Lord put it on my heart pretty heavily that I was being judgmental and stuff on these prosecutors that, you know, are going AWOL and haywire in D.C. And he showed me in the spirit that it was, you know, that Van Grack and Weissman and stuff like that. Those guys, Comey, were kind of like the Apostle Paul. You know, they were taking their papers and they're going out to persecute people and unjustly, but they thought they're, you know, maybe in their own mind, they thought they're doing the right thing and stuff. And so I was thinking that let's pray for them to repent in a mighty way. Now that they've been exposed, they can reflect on the actions they've done and how they could have harmed people and the people they already have harmed, and that the Lord would work on them for the cause of repentance, and that they could be saved. You know, my first inclination was they ought to be strung up, you know, but I repented of that. The Lord had some words for me, and he said, you know, that I didn't judge you, I gave you a chance to repent, and you know, so you better watch out there, young man. And so I repented, and I believe that we just need to pray for those guys, that the Lord will work in them to accomplish what he wants done, and hopefully before they die they'll repent and be saved. So thank you, Lord, for working on this.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. But, Tim, they knew what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing because they had already gotten the information back in January before that all that was a lie, that Pfizer report, you know, all that stuff that they based that on was a lie. And they knew it. Rob Rosenstein knew it. Comey knew it. All of them knew it. But yeah, I agree. We need to pray that God put the fear of God on them, and they would repent. That's good. Amen. But they were complicit in it.
They set up that senator.
Do what, Tim? You're breaking out.
Yeah, they've got a history. Go back long ways of these dirty deeds.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I said, these guys got a history. They go back a long ways with their corruption and stabbing, setting people up. They need to repent, and they need, you know, they might be an example. scofflaws up there.
Amen. I agree. That Wiseman, he's done that for a living. Go ahead, Pat.
Can you hear me?
Can now, yeah.
Hello?
Yes. Okay. Let me shake my head.
I'm getting a...
Yeah.
I'm getting a tremendous delay on here.
Yeah. You've got a bad internet connection. So I think everybody has it.
I think I agree with what Tim is saying there. I was they clearly are have done things that they knew were wrong, I believe, but it's in their mind. They believe that what they're doing is correct for a higher reason or something like that. I'm not sure. And it's like Apostle Paul. He was killing people, having people killed, but it was for a right reason. And for some reason that, according to him, in his mind and in his justification. And I think that they are blind to that fact. The devil has blinded their minds that what they were doing was wrong. I remember when the Lord opened my eyes as to who he was, as after I was, when I first became a Christian and I was seeking, I was looking, reading the scripture for all it was worth. And when he opened my eyes and I received him, I probably told it before, but as soon as I saw that scripture, I piled out the scripture that hit me. I piled out of bed and asked him to take me to the Father, and I just had an immediate flooding of peace, and my whole frame of reference changed. I started praying for others and praying to the Lord, but I had no concept of the things that I was doing wrong. And one of the, just as an example, I don't know if I've told this or not, but when I was working at a company that I was working for in the computer business, and this is when personal computers were just coming out. I'm dating myself here. It goes back about 40 years. And we decided, a friend of mine and I decided, we were going to build our own computers. And lo and behold, we were working in a computer repair business, a commercial computer repair business. And that's what we did. Technicians, we were repairing computers, etc. And so we were stealing parts, chips, memory chips, and everything like this. And every time we would go in to get a part to repair something that we were working on, we got two. And I would put one in my pocket, and I thought nothing of it. After I met the Lord, I went to work one day, and I was just functioning in the normal routine. And I grabbed a strip of integrated circuits, and it was like I was watching myself do this for the first time. And I was seeing the thoughts in my mind. And what I did is I was taking this strip of chips and I was bending over and slipping those chips in my sock under my pants because I wanted to walk out of the building and so I wouldn't see, no one would see them in my pocket or whatever. But as I was doing that, I was thinking, what are you doing? Why are you hiding that? Why are you sticking this in your, I was seeing my mind think these things through. And for the first time, I realized that there's something there. I'm doing something wrong, but I'm just now realizing that that was wrong. And I had no concept of sin. I had no concept of the Holy Spirit or anything like this. All I did is I knew Jesus. I wanted Jesus. I wanted to know him more. And I continued. I thought, well, man, that's kind of weird. I'm gonna have to figure that out. And I continued to stuff that thing in my pocket, in my sock, and a heaviness. I could feel I won't say it had to be a physical heaviness on top of my head, just bearing me down, little by little, more and more, bearing me down. Until I was bent over and I was getting ready to go home, and I felt myself and noticed myself for the first time. I was being pushed down. I was bending over as I was walking out the door. I had no idea that the Holy Spirit was bringing this conviction in on me. I was not aware of it. Consequently, I mean, I literally said, I started, if somebody would have been watching me, because I finally said, whoa, stop, whatever this is, stop, get away, you know, that type of thing. Somebody probably, if they would have seen me, they would have thought I was crazy. But I'm making the point that these guys don't know what they're doing. They have no consciousness of that. Now why that is, I don't know. All I know is that I really relate to what Tim was saying. They don't know not what they are doing, even though they are seeing what they're doing, and that in their mind they're justified for better. In my mind, I was justified at what I was doing and functioning in that justification because I was going to build a computer. But it was just so, I don't know why I go through all that, but the point being is Satan has the ability to blind the minds of people. And I know that for a fact because he certainly, I had to discover it. That was the very impetus that I think the Lord said, all right, well, this guy here is going to need some work. And he sent me directly up the road to Oklahoma City into the Bible Belt, and I became a Baptist. But anyway,
well, what happens? They do have a conscience to begin with, but they keep doing what they're doing, and the Lord sears their conscience after a while. Missy was talking about, they have a seared conscience, and they knew at one time. But now they don't because they've done it so much and they've burnt their conscience completely up. They don't have a conscience anymore. And it's, that's what happens. I can tell you what happened to me, Pat. When I came to the Lord, there wasn't a weight on me. There was a weight that came off of him because I was doing all of that stuff and more, what you're talking about. And when I came to the Lord, I gave it all up. I went in and I told some stuff. I told him, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. This is it. I'm a child of God. And I'm telling you, I could float around that factory just like it. I was an angel. But I guess when you've given your life to Christ, and then you do it, you're right. There's a happiness that comes on you when you do something like that. And then when you repent, it goes. Praise God. That's what David always talks about, and the Word of God always talks about, is as you find out in the Word of God these things that you've been doing wrong and you repent of it, that's more weight goes, more of that stuff goes from you, you know. Praise God. Go ahead, Lynn. Did y'all hear me?
Remember Strzok's testimony to Congress?
Huh? Strzok.
He was the lover. Strzok.
You're breaking up.
I can't remember his first name.
Peter Strzok.
Okay. His testimony to Congress, he was demon-possessed. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it. Let's pray. Well, I guess. Let's pray.
Demon-possessed. They're all demon-possessed.
Hold it. Let's pray against these communications, for goodness sake. We're not going to be able to communicate until we get rid of this Zoom problem. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against whatever's happening with Zoom in Jesus' name. And I command it to be corrected and that we're not going to have any more problems with it in Jesus' name. I believe Phil was saying that he's got direct knowledge here, said that he tells us that Zoom is the problem. When Pat was talking, he was showing low bandwidth and bada da da da. So we come against whatever it is that Zoom's doing or that's happening with Zoom, and we command it to straighten out for this fellowship in Jesus' name. Supernaturally straighten up in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. We're not going to have any more problems in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me go ahead and let Leon finish what he was saying, because I couldn't hear hardly anything. Did you? Okay, Missy.
Well, I think it's witchcraft. It's come against witchcraft.
Okay, come against it.
Concerning the Zoom.
Okay, did you hear
in the name
me?
Of Jesus, we just come against any witchcraft that's being directed in. Boy, this is horrible. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke any witchcraft and all witchcraft that's coming this way to disrupt this meeting in the name of Jesus. And we command it to be turned around on the head of those that are bringing it our way in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for authority and that. All our communications here in Jesus' name. No stalling, clear pictures, and audio is going to be great too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory, amen. Hallelujah. All right. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Lord.
Bob.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Well, that goes back a ways.
Hey, Michael, you've been pretty. Everybody's kind of spotty, except Missy's coming through pretty well. But I'm on a phone, so I don't have to deal with that latency stuff. But you guys are. It sounds a lot better now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good now. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Praise God. What do you mean, who's Bob? Yes, sir, Bob.
Are you asking, is that something in chat?
Yeah.
Bob. That's from Eisenhower.
I'm a little slow tonight, Junior. You'd have to forgive me. Yeah. Yes, sirree, Bob. Who's Bob? I don't know. That's
Leon. Do you want to? Is Leon want to? Leon want to finish what he was saying? Leon. No.
Okay. Yeah, don't anybody get frustrated because of it, but we've got the victory over this, don't we? We have the victory over this, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Go ahead, Malcolm. Go ahead, Malcolm. You might
I'm
begin.
Not hearing, am I muted?
No, you're good.
Okay, I said I am unmuted. That's a relief. Yeah, I saw a little of the news, and I was quite. I think, like a lot of us, I just lifted my hands and I praised the Lord. There's so many things that have been happening that things are being revealed and people are being exonerated and let out of prison. And it's like God is, you know, in darker times, you know, everything was a lot of injustice and it's just overwhelming. But it's like right now we're in a period of you know, justice and exposure and people, you know, I'm so happy about that. You know, some of these people really suffer because of you know, whatever. So.
Amen. A lot of them have. Is that it, Malcolm?
Well, something else I was thinking about was that I think we're all struggling, or not, we're all struggling with this, but we have to be careful not to to hold it against the judges and the different people that have done wrong, and the different three-letter agencies that were out to take Trump down and whatnot. We have to. It's easy for me to say, you know, God, go get him, and you know. Crank up those hellfires for him and all that kind of stuff. That's, and because it's like you were saying, people don't know, they don't understand a lot of the implications of where they what they're doing. They don't see themselves on the edge of the precipice. So I think a lot of these folks are. Not knowing it, but they're depending on our prayers. They aren't, but their lives are dependent on our praying for them, and that may be the only chance they have. Pretty dark stuff, as we know, going on. I actually saw a photograph of some of this, a plastic container of some of this, what do you call it, acrimon or whatever, and it had the actual date of the harvesting of the little baby heart and the kidney in it. It really, to see something like that, and the you know, best if used by date and all that stuff, was so upsetting because I realized, at least from the evidence I saw, that this is real, and people, and babies and children are being hurt. It really shook me up, and you know, we're praying for an end to all this stuff, but we know that you know there's going to be. We have to suffer with some of this stuff up to the end. I mean, not suffering from it, but you know, knowing that some evil things are happening around us. And so, I want to be having an attitude where I don't come down with a. Angst against these wicked people that are doing these things. even though it's, I think it's really important not to have angst against them. You know, we've heard people talk about righteous indignation. But we have to be careful. So, Michael, do you mind if I relate something to, I've been going through Genesis. Mind if I say a little bit something about that?
Oh, go ahead.
If you can get unmuted.
I'm unmuted.
You know, I'm going through the story of Abraham. I've been going through the story of Abraham, and I'm thinking, it's as you know, you guys know, it is a very compelling story, very emotional, and especially now, when you think about the concepts of the sovereignty of God, the real good news, and then you go back and look at these stories, and it's just amazing how God dealt with Abraham. You know, called him his friend. He picked Abraham out from a huge number of people, and a lot of what we have has come through Abraham. But the story is just really something, because Abraham was dealing with, on one hand, he had God's promise from the very beginning that he would make him a mighty nation, he would inherit this land and all these things. He really didn't see any of those things. And was even at the end, he was negotiating for a plot of land to bury his wife. And he just didn't have property. He didn't, he's very, very wealthy, but he didn't have, you know, he was subject to the approval or the good graces of the people around him to stay wherever he went to. And he got himself into so many pickles with calling his wife his sister and all these different things. But yeah, God still worked with him. And then you go on to Isaac and Rebecca, and it just seems like Rebecca's family was just had a problem with honesty. And eventually she's the one that led Jacob into major. I mean, you think about the implications of what Jacob did by deceiving his father. You know, at the request of his mother, and the level of dysfunctionality in that family is just so overwhelming. And what Jacob did was just incredible, and yet here Jacob leaves, and he has to go to his mother's family's area to get out of the terrible situation that actually he created. And so he's in a desolate place apparently, and he's sleeping, and he has this dream where God tells him all these promises. It's like in the middle of fleeing for his life. And a problem, a person that is a lot of problems in every direction, it seemed like. And yet God, at that really low moment, he comes to him and he gives him all these promises. It's like, to the reasonable mind, it seems so ludicrous, that God would do that. And yet God had planned all along all these things, all these people he was going to work with. Rebecca, and then he goes to Laban, Rebecca's sister, and Jacob gets a lot of the, what went around came around for Jacob. He gets a dose of his own medicine, and Laban is cheating him out of this and that. Just the fact that he gave him Leah instead of Rachel. I mean, talk about that's incredibly terrible what Laban did. And then when Jacob finally leaves, Laban has the gall to say that, you know, everything that you have is mine. Your children are mine. Your wives are mine. You know, everything you have is mine. And, but still, Jacob had it coming, and yet God was with him. All those, you know, for all of his dishonesty and all this manipulation and getting more animals and more livestock, all these different things, Jacob had this guidance of God, and God protected him, and he showed fear, he showed all these terrible things, and yet God was still working with him through all this. And I don't know, I was just so overwhelmed by all these stories and how God was so patient. And it reminded me of the psalm that for his mercy endureth forever. It's just repeated over and over in one of the last few psalms there in the book of Psalms. For his mercy endureth forever. It's, you know, for all the horribleness of some of these stories, it's so encouraging that God is there. And now we have the incredible benefits of the gospel, which a lot of those people didn't understand. Abraham, I think, understood to some extent, but now we have fullness of knowledge and, you know, the revelation of Jesus and the writings of Paul and other apostles, and it's just you know, incredible what we have. And here we are, and it's just such a benefit to be able to go back and review these early stories, you know, of what God did after the flood so many thousands of years ago. So anyway, I've just been kind of living in that period, just thinking about, you know, Joseph and all these guys. So that's just some of my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Theo.
Hey, I just wanted to ask for prayer for my mother. The funeral was today, and Theo and I watched from home on the live stream, or we actually watched it a little bit later. And obviously, my mom's hurting because her mother passed away, and but my mother has been on my mind since this past weekend, and I know that with her hurting over her mother, she is probably hurting over what she considers to be the loss of her own daughter. And I can't convince her right now that she hasn't lost me. And only time can heal those wounds, and with God's grace, bring the understanding to her mind that I have found the full gospel and she has yet to come to it. But knowing my mother from past instances of butting heads or having similar situations with her, I know she's hurting. I know I'm on her mind, and I'd just like a prayer for her, because there's nothing I can do to help her right now except pray for her, and my heart's hurting for her as well.
Amen. What's her name, Lana?
Her name is Raisa.
Raisa?
Raisa, yep. She's Ukrainian like me.
Okay. Well, Lord, we'll just lift up Raisa to you. We thank you, Father, for bringing her in. And Lord, we just ask that you take her past this religion she's in and bring her into the full gospel and the truth. We break the power of religion off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for opening her eyes, her spiritual eyes and her spiritual ears to understand the truth of the gospel. Father, there's so much more, as you know, there's so much more for us as Christians to believe and to understand in the spiritual realm than twice in the big church doing what the pastor says. And Lord, we know that there's freedom in the word. There's freedom in the truth of the gospel. And we break the chains of bondage off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Bind up the works of the enemy on her that is telling her that she's lost her daughter. Matter of fact, she's gained a friend. She's gained a Christian sister. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that she understands that the Bible is our standard. The Bible is the Word. And the Word is Jesus. And that everything in there is truth. Nothing in there is false. Nothing in there has passed away. Because the Lord Jesus said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we thank you for giving her, bringing her into the truth. And that she would lead everybody else around her into the truth. And Lord, we just thank you for the work you're going to do in her. It's got to be a work from you, Lord. We lift her up to you and put her on the altar, Lord. We're not going to take her off the altar at all. We're going to rest in you that you are doing a mighty spiritual work in Raisa. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory, hallelujah. Thank amen. You, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Raisa. In Jesus' name.
I also have a question. When I was talking with her this weekend, one of the things that came up was, along with the question of faith, was a prayer of faith. And I was trying to tell her that the prayer of importunity is not the best method, and that we should, as we know, have faith, believe, claim it, and act on it. And one of her comebacks was, the Bible says that we should pray unceasingly. And they interpret this as being the prayer of importunity, and they continue to do that. The answer might be simple, but I'm stumped, because she stumped me there, and I wasn't sure how to respond to that, though I'm still a firm believer that, you know, by faith, we simply believe it, and it's ours.
Amen. Well, that real good news, can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Did I break up? Okay. That no. book, The Real Good News, is a good one to have and to read and study, because it tells you about the three types of faith. It tells you about the faith of the prayer of importunity, and the prayer of faith, and the prayer of agreement. All three of those are good. But what they don't understand as far as the prayer of importunity is to pray until you get the faith, until the Holy Spirit gives you the faith to believe your prayer. And then after that happens, you stop praying and start thanking God. And the prayer of faith, as you've already explained, is just you pray, you believe, and that's it. You already know what's done. But the prayer of agreement is when you've got two or three people together or more, and you pray together, and man, it really happens. You know, you got a lot of power there, because one puts 1,000 and two puts 10,000. And how many we got here? We got 23 just in that. So that's a lot of power. And anyway, that's some good stuff. Go ahead, Tim. Maybe he's got some more here.
Just gonna, you know, offer that you might want to tell your mom that if she can pray and believe her prayer, she can pray without ceasing, but it will give her a lot more time to pray about a lot more stuff, because she doesn't have to keep saying the same prayer over and over. She can say a prayer, believe it, and move on, and she can pray for a lot more problems, a lot more family members, a lot more deliverance. And it just, you know, you can pray without ceasing. You never run out of pray for.
So I understand that when it says to pray without ceasing, it's talking about the prayer of importunity, or does it apply differently? That my question is about that specific phrase, praying without ceasing. How do we do that in the three different prayers, or does it only apply to the prayer of importunity?
No. When we're praying different things all the time, you know. here's what I do. I can tell you what I do. I pray in the spirit realm. When I'm through praying with English, and I just tell the Lord, Lord, pray through me the things that I've missed. And throughout the day, I'll pray in the spirit, because that's praying all the time. You're praying all the time when you pray in the spirit. And that edifies you. That builds your faith up. And you're also praying when you ask the Lord to pray through you, you're praying the most perfect prayer. And he answers those most perfect prayers all the time. That's praying without ceasing. You're not just praying for the same thing over and over and over again. If you're praying the prayer of faith, you pray at one time. He says, calling those things that are not as though they were. After we do that, we think, thank you, Lord. It's already done. It's already done. I praise you, Father, for doing that. And then we rest in the knowledge that he's done it. Endure in our faith until it happens. We keep thanking him until it happens. It's already happened. We actually, what we have to do is look behind us, because it was taken care of 2,000 years ago. Let's see. Hang on. Let me get Barry and Marilyn in. Yeah, Pat, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, but I'll wait till I think Julie wanted to say something. I'll just wait.
See when stop the video or picture comes up.
What's that, Barry? I got you muted. Let's see. Judy, did you have something you wanted to say?
I did. I don't know if you said Judy or Julie.
I said Judy. Is you? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought he said Judy.
That's okay. That's all right. I will just add to that what Michael was saying, and everybody else is like praying unceasingly to me is you're taking every thought captive, praying to God about every like you're even like when you're dealing with your mom, and inside you're praying to God, like, Lord, help me. You know, it's like every thought, every circumstance, every problem, every anxiety. And we're not supposed to have anxiety for everything, but with everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. It's just like every we're communing with our Father all the time. That's what it means to me, is like I'm always, we have an open door. We're always talking to God, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, everything that comes into our lives. It's just like we're always just conversing with our Father about it and putting it in prayer. That's what it means to me. I hope that maybe helps you.
Okay, let's see. Go ahead, Lana.
I would like to add, I spoke with the second daughter, so the daughter after Lana, her husband has been in the family for roughly 10 years, and he voiced his concerns at that family gathering that for 10 years straight now, there has never been a peaceful reunion or event at this with this family gathering. There was always some kind of unrest, and he voiced his opinion there. And so I called him yesterday. We talked for about an hour, and I just want to pray for him. So, Lord, you see Paul. He's been in this family for 10 years, and he doesn't know what to do. He sees what goes on from the side, and he doesn't have the bold courage to step up to this family and point out where they are so unbiblical, which they claim to be, and he's kind of lost there, and he doesn't have the courage or the faith to show them the true light. And I pray that you give him that courage, Lord, and that he steps up and he shines the light so that from multiple angles we can do your work. And I know you're going to do a work in this family, and you're going to show them the right, the true path, because they need it. we needed it, Lord, and you showed it to us, and we thank you, and we just want this to keep going and your revival just to pour out on this family and all of our relatives and close friends, and just keep spreading, Lord. And I thank you that you are going to give them that strength. You're going to give them that bold courage to go forward and shine the true light. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe along with Phil that this is happening already in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. I tell you what, Phil and Lana, this God's Vaccine book has got a lot of faith scriptures in it. It's got a lot of faith scriptures in it. And as a matter of fact, I like it. I love this book. You can build your faith up and learn about faith by reading this book and studying this book right here. It's got a lot of stuff in it. But anyway, go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, I was thinking that, instead of getting in a dispute with your mom about the style of prayer, just offer to pray with her for whatever you guys are interceding for together, being on the same team, getting into prayer of agreement. You don't have to convince somebody what is the right form of prayer. Just do it with them. Just get in agreement with them and pray with them. And if they have a disagreement about something, you let them talk and let it set and don't have to comment on it. Let it set there. Don't have to dispute over it.
Amen. Well, unless I've got a factual spirit. Joe, I'll get right back to you. Pat's had his hand up for quite a while here. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just going to make a comment about the prayer of importunity versus the prayer of faith, and that the prayer of importunity continues to allow you to do something and to be able to rest in that, because you obviously what David teaches is that the prayer of faith, you believe it, you pray it, you believe it, and now it's in God's hands. Now it's completely out of my hands. But the prayer of opportunity allows me to still rest in my unbelief, and I can still pray and look as holy as the rest of the group, so to speak, and pray, and I may be able to even pray a little bit longer and become even more holy. And it allows me to keep that, hold on to that myself, even though in one sense I say I'm trusting God, there's a sense of unbelief and faithlessness that's connected with that a person tends to rest in. It's a resting place, like the flesh pots of Egypt, so to speak. So I say that to Theo and Lana, that there's that desire to rest in, need to rest in my own works or my own ability to pray or something like that. It needs to be neutralized before they can reach out and grab onto. Really wanting to trust God to see this thing through. So I don't know.
I remember that David talked about the prayer of importunity when his boy broke his arm. And if you remember, his mama stayed up all night long praying. David went ahead and prayed and believed. And then, that was it. The prayer of importunity is when you get fear or doubt in your mind, and you pray until you do get that doubt and that fear out, and then you start believing. It takes that sometimes with people that don't know the word as well as they as they're going to, you know. But that prayer of importunity is a prayer. If you remember that book that's on the site by G.V. Bevington, he's the guy that prayed in the logs, you remember? Crawled up in the logs and he'd pray until he got to faith and got the answer from God, you know. Well, we already have an answer of God with the prayer of faith, because you know what the Word of God says. You say it, you pray it, and you believe it, and that's it. Then you rest, and you know that that's the prayer, that your prayer is answered. That's where God wants us. God wants
Michael,
us.
Michael, can I just make a...
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just make a parting comment that...
Sure.
The prayer of importunity is not wrong, or it's not evil, or not, you know, it's like you say. That's why God gave us both. But they all got to end in the same place, like David says. But what is wrong about it is that the apostate church of today uses that, and they teach that as a way, because quite frankly, they've been taught that, and they teach it as the only way to pray, because of the unbelief that is there, and the evil is the fact that apostate system teaches that.
Well, that's where David comes in, and he says, "Don't listen to a man teaching anything. Go ahead and get in the Word yourself and learn what faith is." And
amen.
That's imperative that they get out of that garbage you're talking about there. The prayer of like Pat said, prayer of importunity is not wrong. It's just long time, because as you pray and you allow the Lord to work in you until you get the faith to believe what you're praying is going to happen, and the Lord gives you peace. I have peace when I pray the first time, because I know what the Word of God. Y'all have peace when you pray the first time, and you know it's going to happen, because we have an open heaven. We have an open heaven. God's told us that. And once we understand it, he's sitting there, "Come on, boys. Come on, girls. Let's go now. You pray that prayer, I'm going to send them angels out there. Right then. And we know that God is working. It may not look with our natural eyes, but it don't make any difference what our natural eyes and our natural ears hear. It's what God says in the Word of God. That's what matters. The prayer of importunity is not bad. It's just lengthy. You got other things you need to do if you have the prayer of faith. But if you have the prayer of agreement, everybody's agreeing at the same time, you got power, glory to God, and you're going to see results immediately. Okay, somebody had their hand up. Was that you, Dave? I'll get back to you, Sue. Hang on.
I was thinking also that the prayer of importunity. Well, one thing is, if we're talking about apostate Christianity too, I don't think they even know the difference between prayer of importunity and prayer of faith. They don't have that comprehension between the two.
They don't know what faith is, Dave.
Yeah, so that's it. The other thing is that when they do pray, I don't think they pray in faith. Mm-hmm. They don't. They really aren't sure if God's going to answer their prayer or not half the time when they pray. So they're just kind of wishing that God hears their prayer. And unless they're really in dire straits, and then they get down and pray hard, and they're praying with all their heart because there's something happening in their life that they need God answers now, you know, God comes through and answers and helps them, because, you know, they're being bare naked in front of God because their heart's crying out. But also, I see the prayer of importunity as a trial of people's faith. because they haven't got the faith just to lay it at the foot of God at that one time and say it's done and go forward. They have to go through that trial of their faith to get their faith built up in order to finally just feel rest assured that they could leave it with the Lord. So it's kind of a trial of faith when they're doing the prayer of importunity. It's not that they don't have faith. They just don't have enough faith when they're starting out. But if they hold on and endure through the trial, then they get their faith, which is, that's a good thing because they learn how to overcome and get faith in their life. So however they're going about in their prayer life, accomplishing their prayer, we're always looking to get to the prayer of faith. But if it takes going through opportunity to get to faith, you know, they're still coming at faith, and that's a good thing. That's what we want. We want people to be confident that the Lord hears their prayer. And the Lord wants that confidence too, you know. So that's just my thoughts.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie. Sue, you'll be next. She's had her hand up for quite a while.
Will you put it down for me or should I?
What's that?
My hand.
Idea.
Oh, idea. Thank you. Okay. I wanted to read something out of the Sovereign God book on prayer that David wrote. This is our authority in prayer, and he talks about the New Testament prayer should not be confused with Old Testament prayer. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say that they prayed three times a day on their knees facing the temple, and we are now the temple. We carry the Lord with us in every place and every situation, which is where prayer is needed. This is also why we are told to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We need to pray when we see the need and while the burden is upon us. Much of what is taught about prayer today is Old Testament relationship with God. We should not wait legalistically until night or morning when we are tired and trying to remember what to pray for. This is not an effectual fervent prayer, which availeth much, which is James 5:16. This does not mean that we cannot take time out every day to concentrate only on prayer. God's plan for spiritual men who have the Holy Spirit is to be in constant communication with him. Otherwise, we treat him as baggage, ignoring him without ceasing. That is not why we become his temple. Prayer without ceasing necessitates us praying in our mind sometimes. He hears us just as well. First Chronicles 28:9. The Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found by thee. If thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. In heaven, thoughts are audible to the mind. We now can practice fellowship with God and pray about everything without ceasing. As the song says, how much needless grief we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Anyhow, that's one of the chapters in the Sovereign God book on prayer. If you know, it's always good to revisit that book. It's a good teaching.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe DeBrowski.
Okay. I like to lift my family up in prayer, actually, you know, my mom's side. Because, I heard this morning, my cousin, they found him dead from a drug overdose. And so I just want to lift him up in prayer. You know, I know it's so much has gone on in my mom's family. So it really wasn't, as sad as it is, it wasn't much of a surprise because I guess, you know, my cousin's been in and out of jail for several years, and you know, he's been on the addicted to drugs, so I guess it really wasn't as much of a surprise. You're like, okay, you know, this is where he was headed, and it finally caught up with him. But I would just want to, yeah, I want to lift my family up, you know, just through all this suffering, you know, just the destruction the enemy's been allowed to partake in my family. You know, I don't know what my ancestors did. I mean, I look at my own life and just the mountains I've had to climb over and, you know, just to overcome. And I think my ancestors, whatever they did, it's just, you know, they brought some major destruction to my family's life. So I just want to pray for just God's mercy, you know, in these times ahead, it's going to be needed. But that, I mean, with this recent death, you know, I know God's working on him. I'm still trusting. I'm just believing he's going to do a major work. like he's done in my life, you know. So I just want to lift him up in prayer if y'all would agree with me. So,
yeah, go ahead.
Father, I just come to you here. Yeah. I thank you, Lord, for just what you've done in my life. You know, I look at just the great struggles I've had, the great, you know, adversity, the great resistance from the enemy is what I now realize it. You know, I now realize that's where the majority of it has come from, is Satan. And, you know, I don't think it's just by coincidence that he's been allowed to come against me so hard as he has. You know, I mean, first of all, Lord, I want to say if there's any other generational curses from my mother's side of the family that I haven't dealt with, would you reveal those things to me, Lord? You know, where does the enemy still have, if he does, you know, if I haven't dealt with those things, would you reveal them to me? And I just pray most of all that, you know, through all these just these deaths, I mean, years ago, there were several other deaths in my mother's family, Lord, that, you know, they happen, in a sense, they happen unexpectedly. But, you know, Lord, I don't know what my ancestors did. I don't know who really upset you, you know, to bring these curses upon my family. But, Lord, I pray through this that you would, you know, you would begin to make yourself real to my family. You know, that they would, if they are holding unforgiveness and, you know, hatred towards you because of all this suffering, because of all this destruction, Lord, would you show who you really are, you know, to each and every one of them? You know, that you're not this angry, vengeful God that just loves to punish people, you know, for doing wrong. But, you know, I mean, you have a purpose in all this, Lord. Help us, help my mother's family most of all to realize these things, that, you know, when you make bad decisions, you know, and you do not repent from those bad decisions and those bad ways of life, destruction's going to come, and eventually death. In this case, death came for my cousin. And, but Lord, you know, I pray that your mercy and your love through all of this would become apparent most of all. You know, that, I mean, once again, you would really become apparent to them on who you really are. You know, I think the Catholic Church, and there's other, you know, religions and other influences in my mother's life has brought has just kept us in the darkness, Lord, on who you really are, on what Christianity is about, you know, and just looking at and I'm sure there's been poor witnesses from those who claim to be your people, Lord. So I pray that you know, I thank you for the work you've already done, and I thank you for the work you've yet to do in the lives of my mother's family, you know, Lord, and you know, and even my family. So I just lift this up to you, and I thank you for what you're going to do in the midst of this death. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Joe, can I pray for him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, right now, I break the power of Satan off of Joe's mother right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I call her in to the kingdom right now. I declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus that she's to come into the kingdom. And Father, I thank you for granting repentance to her and bringing her in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, it's already done. We put her on the altar and we know that you're going to bring her in. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Joe's mother into the kingdom in a mighty way, that you would turn her on to the gospel and hunger for the word of God like nothing else. And Father, we praise you and glorify you for doing that for Joe and for her also. Thank you, Father. And it's going to be a wonderful thing for the rest of the family to see her change. Thank you, Lord. Joe, do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Amen. Is it?
Okay, brother.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll accept that for the rest of her family, too. You know, okay. I'm the only one saved. So, okay. That I know of. So, yeah, amen.
Yeah. Well, no, she's saved now.
Absolutely.
We just declared Absolutely. It.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
So, all right, all of them. Yeah, amen. All right, Sue, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me make something.
If you will put your hand up, I won't miss you. But if you just raise your hand like this, I'm subject to missing you. Yeah, well, okay. Unless you just stay there and do this the whole time, you know, I might say. But if you'll raise that blue hand, I won't miss you. Go ahead, Sue. I'm sorry.
Amen. Well, we're talking about two kinds of prayer, and actually, I wonder about intercessory prayer, because years ago we with Kenneth Hagin, he talked about intercessory prayer, but the thing that crossed my mind was that when I was praying today, you know, the thing that Julie said was about in that reading that said burden, and I was burdened for my grandson. And when I've even in intercessory prayer years ago, whenever I was burdened with something, I didn't know how long it was going to take for me to pray. But like today, and I hadn't done this for a while, but for today, I prayed a little bit. I was praying mainly in the spirit. And I asked the Lord, Lord, give me the understanding while I pray in spirit, give me the understanding if there's words that I need to pray with the understanding. Because I had prayed for him before when I heard about this, and I prayed with Bill and Lisa, but it was like it wasn't enough prayer or something. And maybe it was something not that I needed, that the Lord had to deal with in me. I don't know. But the thing is, I prayed a little bit, and then I asked the Lord later. I felt like I wasn't really finished. I wasn't like I just needed to pray some more. And so I prayed more, and that's when I asked him whether I should be fasting. And he wanted me to fast. You know, I use coins sometimes for confirmation, you know, when I'm not sure if I'm hearing right. You know, maybe I have that sense that I need to fast, or I have that sense I need to keep praying. So I thought, well, it's not going to hurt for me to pray. It's not going to hurt for me to fast. So I prayed anyway. And while I was praying, I was just praying in the spirit most of the time. And there was a few times where I felt like it was intense. The praying in the spirit was really intense, like there was a battle going on in the spirit realm. I can't explain it, but I've experienced this before when I did intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. And those, when you have those battles, it's like sometimes it takes a while for you to get through. And then you may, it's like a wave, you know, like I had a wave of a battle, and then it kind of calmed down, and then I was praying some more. I felt like I was still wasn't done. Then I had another battle. I had about three battles that I could sense that it was really intense. And then after a while, then I felt like a real peace, like I didn't have any more of that intenseness. And that's when I asked the Lord about, you know, I asked him for a word, and that's when he gave me upright. You know, I said, where's in relation to Christian? And I got the word upright. So that, and even in the midst, after I went through all these battles in the spirit, at the end of those battles, the word that came to me, the violent take it by force. So I felt like, you know, it just popped in my head, the violent take it by force. And it made me think of, I was taking it by force because of the violent, it felt like a violent intercessory prayer. I can't explain it again, you know, it's just something I experienced. And whether it was like, again, whether it was for me because I wasn't having enough faith, or whether it was for Christian, it doesn't matter, because I felt like there was a victory. I felt there was a pressing in and a breakthrough, you know. Okay. And so I didn't consider how long I was praying, although it was off and on. Judy could tell you I've been in my room most of the day off and on. And so, except the last part was more intense. So, you know, whether it was in opportunity or not, doesn't, you know, I'm just glad I went through it.
Well, there's, as long as the results is the same, it makes no difference. Just like we were talking about earlier, if it's the prayer of opportunity and that works for you, praise God, go for it, you know. If it's a prayer of faith, whichever, prayer of agreement, it don't make any difference. Makes no difference as long as you get the same outcome.
Yeah.
The same outcome.
So I just felt like I needed to, the Lord wanted me to share that because I'm not going to be moved by what kind of prayer is this, you know, just go through and do what the Lord wants me to do and be obedient.
Amen.
That's what it came down to.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Let's see. Is anybody else? Let's see. Joe, Brett, did you have something?
Yes, Michael. On Wednesday, I emailed you for a prayer request on a car. I feel all day just after a conference call. And at night before I go to bed, Dora offered me something to drink for high fever. And I hear in my spirit that clearly as it can't be, it's, the Lord doesn't need your help. That was a serious.
Joe, did you say you have a high fever?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray for that. You're not under the curse, so we're going to pray for that, and that God's going to take that away from you in the name of Jesus right now. I come against this spirit of infirmity trying to come on Joe. I command you to cease your works against him right now in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, we bind you up and cast you off of him right now in the name of Jesus. Fever, go. Pain, go. All symptoms, go from Joe right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for cooling Joe off in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that he is healed by the stripes of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And he doesn't have to put up with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Joe is healed, delivered, and set free from this fever that's trying to come on him in Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord, for Joe's deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for his healing. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it, Joe.
Thank you. Yep. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Angelica, did you have your hand up? Okay. All right. Anybody else on faith? Yeah, Dave.
I'd like to hear Marilyn talk a little bit about prayer. She's a good prayer warrior. Because I think Dad brought up a really good, interesting conversation on spiritual warfare here. So that's something we weren't touching on too much, but now we are. And that kind of, you know, where does that fall in between prayer of faith and then we got prayer of opportunity? But now we're going to spiritual warfare. That goes into a whole different realm of prayer. It's interesting. I mean, kind of like this is an interesting conversation tonight on prayer. Kind of wonder if Marilyn might have a little bit to share on that too, because she does a lot of spiritual warfare.
Okay, I didn't see this one coming. I know I've mentioned this before, but there's a little prayer that Michael had put out there a few months ago. And the first, and that has helped me tremendously to when I'm warring in the spirit, because the first half of it is all confession of faith. It starts out, you know, it's by saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then the next part says, and I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And, you know, I like to take some time to think about that and really talk to Father and thank him for what all those spiritual blessings are. Boy, the Holy Spirit will just, the Spirit will lead you and help you pray. And anyway, you know, I go through that. And then the second part of that prayer is, You're praying for yourself, but you can also be praying for the body. And but the first part of that prayer gets you really, really, really built up in faith with that confession of who you are. You know, it talks about, you know, I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm born again. I'm born again by the word of God. You know, God the Father is my heavenly Father and Jesus is my Savior. I really like to take time to think about all that and confess that and talk to Father and talk to Jesus. And I feel like, you know, when I'm praying that, I really like to visualize myself as just there before the throne of grace. And that I've got my Father's full attention, and I have the you know, Jesus is there with me. He's my high priest. He's my redeemer. He's my intercessor. He's my friend. And so anyway, I think, you know, it's good if you're going to be doing spiritual warfare, at least for me, you know, if you have the time to really think about, you know, get into the presence of the Lord. You know, if you can get, you know, sometimes you don't have the opportunity to do that. Sometimes you just got to cry out to the Lord because you're in a serious situation and you need the Lord right now. But if you know that you're sitting down to do spiritual warfare, you know, just get in that quiet place and get in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, the other thing that, you know, is really helpful to me, and I know that we all know this, is to pray the scriptures, because it's the sword of the Spirit. And it, you know, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so just pray in the scriptures. And also another thing, you know, the Lord's been showing me is, you know, when you're praying spiritual warfare, the Lord, you know, told me this about a month ago. I was praying with Julie, and as we were praying, he spoke to me. He said, you know, you're known by the company that you keep. And the spirit, you know, we're known in the spirit realm. And they know who you're keeping company with, if you're keeping company with the Lord, or if you're just out there living in the world. And so I, you know, when I am praying in the afternoon, when I'm praying in the body, like for the body, like the Lord's been calling me to do now, and praying for the revival, he's been having me do this for a couple of months now in the afternoon, is making sure, you know, my heart is clean, confessing that I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and that I have an open heaven. And also praying against retaliatory spirits and praying against assignments against my life. And when I'm praying for the body, that's things that I pray for them too. And I get into the second part of that prayer after the confession part to really confirm and build up and strengthen my faith. That's part of what I'm doing for the body of Christ and the man child and the bride. I don't know if that's what you were anyway.
That's good, Marilyn. That's real good. I had if you remember here some months ago, I was talking to Eve and asking her about getting into the presence of the Lord and getting words from him. And she told me basically the same thing you're telling us now, is that she would get in to the presence of God, and she would imagine in her mind that Jesus was sitting right there looking at her, and that he would talk to her and give her, you know. And I tried it. She did. She prayed for me first, that God would do that for me. And that's exactly what happened. You know, I sat down and I prayed and prayed in the spirit for a while and got in the presence of God. And then I just imagined that Jesus was right there in front of me. And I started talking to him and he started talking to me, man. It just blew me away. And, you know, we've been doing that ever since. And I think some of y'all did the same thing. I started talking to the Lord. But, you know, something that I found out, Marilyn, if you don't do it often enough, it goes away. You know what I mean? If you don't practice it continually, it goes away. And then you got to go back start over, do it again. Do the same thing. And it takes a little bit longer. But then once you get into that realm of being in contact with the Lord, if you do it every day, you just, it just automatically comes in, you know, when you do that. And that's the thing about it. A lot of times we say, well, I don't have enough time to do that. Well, you need to sacrifice to do it. That's what he wants. He wants you to sacrifice to do it. Merlin sacrifices her afternoons to do that. And a lot of you sacrifice sleep to get in the presence of God and get those answers that you're looking for. So anyway, I just my addition to it. I know Julie gets in the presence of God, and she works, and she has to do it. Missy does it, and some other of you do the same thing. So it's just a matter of what you want to do. What's first in your life? Go ahead, Julie.
I'll just add something to that. That something I do is I have an advantage of living by myself, so I have that freedom and luxury. But I've got either music going, or I'm praying in the spirit a lot. Even when I'm at work, I'll be praying in the spirit a lot too. Or I've got a Bible study going, you know, when I'm not at work, or I've got music going. So I'm constantly feeding myself with the Word of God. Amen. Either, you know, through Bible studies or praying out loud, praying in the spirit, and the music, you know, it, you know, I know a lot of you can witness to this. Is some, there are some songs that just really pick you up and they just exalt God. And I, one of my favorite ones is Psalm 34 by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. When they sing that and I sing it with them, I feel I am in the and I am praying and exalting. You know, it's like, come, let us, you know, worship him together and exalt his name together. And that's what I feel like I'm doing. And I just long to do that with the body. And but it is really exalting God and glorifying him and lifting his name up. And that will bring you into the presence of the Lord too. It really does when you start exalting who he is and just declaring who he is and how powerful and awesome and beautiful and wonderful and glorious and majestic. And, you know, just you can get caught up. You know, at least I do sometimes. And you know, that's the music and worship is just a really powerful tool also in spiritual warfare. If you don't do it, try, you know, do it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sing well, you know, you just gotta sing, you know, and the more you sing, the better you get at it anyway.
Well, some of us do.
No, Michael, you're getting you got a beautiful voice in the spirit realm. I know you do.
You're way in the spirit realm. I love that. Thank you. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to talk about your prayer time and how you do it? Tanya says she's been praying Psalm 43 and it felt much more powerful when I read it out loud with authority. Absolutely, it does. And it gets in your spirit when you do that. Our God reigns here by John Waller. Waller. Amen, Tanya. Okay. Anybody else? Somebody else had their hand up a while ago. Yeah, Angelica.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a couple of things about, you know, prayer and praying unceasingly as I kind of experienced that. And I haven't lately, but I'm believing for the Lord to put that on me again. But it has a lot to do, I think, the times when I felt that I had that presidential red phone in my hand directly to the Father, right, were the times when I felt the love and compassion in my heart for people, right? And so we can ask for love and compassion, can be filled in our hearts for those things. But I believe it really touches the Father's heart when we truly intently listen to the needs and the prayers from the heart And when we put ourselves in that position and we put ourselves, like the Bible says, to bear their burden, we bear each other's burdens. And when they cry, we cry. When they are in joy, we're in joy. And I have experienced, you know, in my prayer life in the past, is, and when I did that, I could just feel power the whole time praying. I mean, sometimes I'd feel so much power, I'd be shaking. But it really moves God's heart. If you want to touch the Father's heart, listen. You know, it's hard. I know, especially, you know, for me, and it's just God's grace. But just listening, instead of gathering your own thoughts as to what you're going to reply, right, when someone else is talking, listening to their needs, listening to the tone of their voice, how, you know, be observant if they're in front of you, to, you know, their distress, their needs, and just love on them. And when you pray with that kind of intention in mind, and love in mind, and consideration in mind, the Father really just loves that, and He shows up. And I find when you do that, He gives you more, and He gives you more, and He gives you more, and you can pray a deeper prayer, not just sort of shallow. And there's nothing wrong with simple prayers, but sometimes when you do that, God will reveal to you more of their heart and their situation, and you can just pray a really solid prayer in detail, and watch the Lord kind of unravel their circumstances, and He'll show up and answer exactly according as you prayed. And I've experienced that, and I've been in awe by that, and it was the delight of my life, and it still is. I just haven't had that anointing, you know, for a while, but I just believe that the Lord's gonna, you know, give me double, you know, for my trouble, you know. But just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's true. I see you, boy. I see you. I see you, Max. What are you doing, boy? I see you too, Theo. Yeah, I can. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, a
okay, whatever you said, that's fine with me, brother.
Yeah, I understand as much as you do, Michael.
Yeah, oh, they're so sweet.
Is it hi, Michael? You can say that.
Hi, hey, buddy. How you Maxime, doing?
Maxime, because like, hi, Michael. Maxime, because like, hi, Michael.
Hi,
Maxime. Hey, bud. Hey, buddy.
All right.
When Angelica, when Phil was with me, he was sitting up in my lap in the tractor as we were going out through there, and I'd holler at Isaiah, and I said, "Isaiah, wait!" And he picked that up, and we just got to hollering that all the way through. You know, he said, "Isaiah, wait!"
They know Isaiah pretty well, then, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, them boys were a treat for me. Amen. Now, I'll tell you one thing. You got to watch them like a hawk. You got to lock everything up. I went upstairs, and Theo was up there. He was working on my computer with the door closed. I heard him in there. I said, and he went in and closed the door and went in there and worked on my computer a little while. I said, "Boy, what are you doing in here?" He did look at me and grin. But we had a great time with those boys. I did. I had a wonderful time with them. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord and praise Him. We have not had any issues with our communications since we prayed.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Y'all noticed that. But
thank you, Jesus.
Any issues, nobody has had any problems.
Nope. Amen. God is so good.
Praise the Lord. And no messages. Praise Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, whatever. God did it. Now, I know that. Because it sure was messed up. I was getting things, everybody talking at one time, you know, just silly stuff. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yeah, could have been, Julie. Could have been. Angelica says, Marilyn, I would love to FET together one day to pray. I believe you can show me a thing or two. Oh, gosh, yeah. That woman can pray now. Thank you, Lord. Mary's still there. She got to be praying. Praise God. No, I love them both.
Yeah, I'd love to pray with you, Angelica. Barry can put something up in the chat. We'll figure out how to get in touch.
Amen. Did you hear that, Angelica? Okay, she got it. All right, go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, Lana had a question. Oh, she's back.
Oh, I was doing a little studying about head coverings. I'm searching the Lord regarding the question. I was raised in to wear head coverings, but I still have some curiosity about the depth of its everything. Anyways, question is, what does it mean when it says in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 11, for this cause ought the woman to have a sign of authority on her head because of the angels. What do the angels have to do with it? I've heard a few versions, but I'm not convinced that's what it really means.
Anybody want to tackle that? Go ahead, Missy.
Well, it just has it has to do with the and this is, I don't believe this is completely all of it, but anyway, what really hit me once, I was reading something, because I always wondered about that too, and it was just like I kind of had like a light bulb moment. But okay, God, Jesus is the head of man, right? Man is the head of the woman. Okay. And it's just a matter of, I guess you could say a lineup of authority. And to show the angels that you have authority, having your head color covered is a sign of submission. And if you're in submission, you know, then you have authority over the angels. You have more, a woman has more authority than angels do. In other words, you have authority over angels to send them forth, or even just in your prayer, the Lord sends the angels forth to carry out your prayer. It's just I can't think of the word, but it's a lineup of authority. Christ, then man, and then woman, and then the angels. It's now, mind you, I know there's a lot of women, and I don't believe that's when you, Lana, but there's a lot of women that wear head coverings that are not submissive. They don't, it's just all a legalistic thing, and they don't have a submissive heart, and anyway, so does that make sense to you, Lana?
Yeah, that actually makes perfect sense. I was raised to wear a head covering. It was a religious thing. It wasn't as much about submission. And then some of the versions I read had something to do with Genesis 6 and the angels coming down and sleeping with the daughters of man. And then the other one was that because the angels can't read our minds, that this is a sign to them, which doesn't make sense either, because I believe that they can based on the teachings. So you explaining it, that it means that I have authority over angels, that way when I pray, I can send them to take my prayer to the Lord, makes perfect sense. If I recall, the book on the site about sunshine, I don't remember what it's called, but when her mom is taken to heaven to see her daughter being crowned for her martyrdom, that brings it to mind, because she has a wonderful explanation of how angels and prayers work. It's an incredible story, and that section especially was very eye-opening. So I really appreciate that. Because I don't want my head covering to be a legalistic thing. I want the Lord to convict my heart. And that I've seen women on YouTube talk about it. Some wear it all the time. Some wear it only in public. Some wear it only during prayer. And I want to tear myself away from the habit of doing it as a legalistic thing, as a religious thing. It's how I grew up. And I want to do it based on the understanding that the Lord reveals to me in His Word.
Well, and one thing that came to me when you were speaking too also was that they're ministering spirits. They are for our benefit, you know. God uses them for our benefit, and they fight on our behalf. I mean, we have guardian angels too, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's just one thing, but you know, somebody else might have something else too, you know, to help explain that.
I saw three young ladies get set free many years ago when David explained to them about the head coverings, just like y'all are talking about here. And they finally decided, well, okay, that's what God wants. That's what we're going to do. We don't make it a law here. You don't have to wear it if you don't want to. You know, it's just something that it has to be you that does it, and not a law that does it. Some of the women do, some don't. I think most of them do now because they want to please God. But it's for the married women. That's who it's for. It's for the married women. Yeah, Julie.
I would add just to what Missy was saying is that what she was trying to say, I think, was is the angels recognize your obedience to the ordained order of things, how God established things. So that's where the submission comes in, and the obedience thing. And that gives you authority, because you're a total submission and obedience to what God's word says. And as far as how often you wear it, the scripture, I believe, says is when you come together in a group like this, when you're praying, or even just when you're by yourself praying, that you don't have to be legalistic about it, you know. And if you don't have it and you don't have it and you're out and you need to pray, what are you going to do? Oh, I don't have my head covering, you know. I was in a meeting actually with these guys the first time I was there, and I believe Sandy didn't have a head covering, and somebody gave her a tissue, you know, so she just put a tissue on her head. It was just an act of putting something on her head in obedience, because she just didn't have something. It's like, here's a tissue. That's what she used. And I never forgot that. I'm like, okay, it's okay. You're just, it's just a, you know,
no big deal. You
know, the act of doing it, you know.
Well, Julie, speaking of, oh, I forgot how I was going to phrase this, but that's also crossed my mind is, should I be wearing one whether I'm praying in an assembly, or whether I'm praying in general, whether I'm praying out loud, or whether I'm praying just in the spirit? That's also been kind of on my mind. And so far I've just kind of been doing it as what I'm used to, but I'm not sure where my comfort zone is, or I'm just waiting for the Lord to convict me as to how often or when and if I should be wearing it.
I would just ask him, like you just said, just like, Lord, show me, you know, when and how to do this. You know, you don't have to put it under, you know, a law. I know some women, because of their hair, you know, they would wear them all the time just because it kept their hair out of their face, and it would, you know, and it just, you know, it was more convenience thing because they had kids, they were busy all the time, so they just have their head covered. And then other people I know that, you know, they just put it on when they come into a group of fellowship, you know, there's no, but, you know, if we're all together and we don't, you know, I'm not married, so I don't wear one, but I have practiced doing that, and that there has been times where I felt like I felt really good wearing it. And then there's other times it's like when I'm on the phone with my sisters, I can't see if they're wearing one, but I believe that they are, you know, and they go into their, and we know we come together and we're going to pray. But God sees it. He sees your heart. He also knows it's like you can't always wear it. You know, I also know that if people have been legalistic about it and always carrying one in their purse or whatever, just in case I have to pray, you know, it's like, well, you know, God doesn't see it that way. You know, it's kind of like, you know, men not wearing a head covering, you know, not wearing a, not covering, but a hat or whatever. And sometimes their professions require them that they had to wear a hat, you know, or a safety hat or whatever. It was part of the uniform or whatever. And, you know, are they going to take it off every time they go to pray and they're praying in their thoughts? No. You know, God doesn't look at that. He looks at the heart and your intent and your obedience. And, you know, you're not under any kind of law. So just ask God what's right for you, you know, what you're comfortable in.
Amen. The women that wear it all the time, they're comfortable that way. That's fine. They don't make it a law. They just like to do it, you know. Okay. Anybody else before we close out? You know, it's our, man, it's been good, hasn't it? It's been really good. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good night. We prayed the prayer that we wanted you to lead us. You did. And it looks like we got a little bit accomplished tonight. Well, I know we did. And Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you, Father, for giving us all a good night's sleep tonight. And Father, that we'll wake up in the morning early enough to talk to you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, put it in our mind, in our heart, to pray more often as you know, me too, Lord. You know, I think that I have to do this, or I think that I have to do that, when in fact, all I need to do is just put you first and run after you with all my heart. I know sometimes we get caught up in self rather than you, and I repent of that. I thank you, Lord, for bringing me into that realm of just wanting to be with you all the time. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for everybody's good night's sleep tonight, and the supernaturally power of God be on them all in the morning, in Jesus' name. They'll just jump up out of that bed, Lord, and fly up to the ceiling and praise you, glory to God. And it'll be an awesome time that day. Y'all be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Let me unmute everybody. Okay, boy, it's been a good one.